Amen. Thank you for sharing, Marlon, with us that I think you ask a good question there at the beginning. You said, what is our part in this, in the church? What is our responsibility? What can we do about this? And very clearly you brought what that is, and I appreciate that call to prayer. That call to intercede. We don't get to choose what family we're a part of, or we don't get to choose when we're conceived and born who our parents are going to be. We don't choose that. And I'm just trying to picture myself this morning in with one of those families. And I can't. I just can't imagine. I've spent some time with the people in the Middle East, but I've not seen that type of devastation and poverty and things like that. You know, I read about it. I just want to say this is that you put a lot of hope in our hearts. Thank you. And I received that call to prayer. Patrick Klein is the founder of Vision Beyond Borders. And I was privileged to spend some time with him recently with a few other men when he was in the area here. Got to spend about 2 hours with him. And toward the end of his talk or our little fellowship time there, I asked him, I said, with all the places you've traveled to and everywhere you've been, from Cuba to Haiti to everywhere, where's your heart right now? And this was last fall. And he said, my heart is in Iran. He said, God is about to do something. And he said, I've never seen such hunger and thirst for the word of God. And that's what his mission is. His mission is to get these into every hand over there at this point. Tractor trailer loads, container loads of Bibles going into foreign countries. And he said, my heart is in Iran. He said, because they're so open that we can't ship Bibles there fast enough. This was before this war. And I just appreciate how God prepares the church, prepares people, and just is in total control. So let's trust him. Let's just trust him to pray for these people and not get caught up in, you know, what is this all about politically? And appreciate that challenge. Thank you. Turn with me to Matthew 16 this morning. I want to read verses 24 to 26 and also then to Luke 17:33. Talks about how we are to lose our lives to gain life. And the title of my message this morning is Rise Up. Rise Up. And my intent is to encourage us this morning to rise up in situations that we're in. And I'd just like to preface this a little bit at the beginning here so we don't let our mind drift too far. Is my priority this morning is not so much rising up in the environments we're in, or the situations that we're in, or the job we're working, or the places that we live, as much as the attitudes of our heart and where our heart stands before God. I want us to focus on rising up where our heart is, where our pursuits are, and what we believe this morning about God, and what we see in ourselves, and how we connect those two together, and how we let God redeem those things. But to rise up in those situations where maybe there's a struggle. And we'll talk some more about this. And I guess this comes out of these winter months where you know, there's a lot of snowy days, there's cold days, and the sunshine isn't as, it affects us, I guess you could say. And it should not, but it does. But I'm saying in the midst of that, can we just come to a place where we can say, you know what, I trust God, I'm going to overcome this. It doesn't matter how many days we have in a row that are cold or rainy. I heard a lot of this when it was cold. There was people that were like, I can't wait till we get a snowstorm. We can't wait till it gets cold. And then it would get cold, and they'd say, man, this is just too long. I can't wait till it warms up. Neither hot nor cold, rain nor sunshine, you're never satisfied. It affects me. It affects my mood sometimes. And it started to bother me because it came out in such a way that they were not being grateful. I'm not talking about people here. I'm talking about our customers would complain and whine about things that I have no control of, nor do they have any control of it. And our Creator is the one who made it, and surely He knows how long it's supposed to be cold here for some reasons, and I trust Him for that. But nonetheless, it starts to affect our mood. It starts to affect the way we look at things. It starts to affect how we wake up in the morning. It's cold again. It's rainy again. All this mud, this, and on and on. And I thought to myself, how can we rise up out of this stuff? How can we, first of all, deal with my attitude, repent for that? How can I believe God and trust Him with this? You know, we have the colds, we have the flus, and with that sometimes, if you're not careful, comes depression, despair, oppression, which can lead to relational challenges, and sometimes even unforgiveness because we start to say the wrong words, and you start to see the escalation or the spiral downward, and you don't realize you're even on it until you find yourself in a place where, how do I get out of this? And I'm saying, where you are this morning, you can rise up out of that situation. Whatever it is that you're dealing with this morning, you can rise up out of that situation. And I trust by the end of this message, we're going to go into a time of prayer, praying for each other and have that time of fellowship, because we need to guard against that. We need to guard our hearts that they don't get complacent or not being grateful and just... You heard Marlon say, we have it made. What more could we want here? Surely there's a God that can help me through these struggles. Surely there's a God that knows what I'm going through. And I want to say this yet. I share this carefully and tenderly. Your struggles are real. All of our struggles are real. I don't want to diminish that at all. Those things are very real. And God cares about those things, and He wants to touch them. He wants to touch them with His Holy Spirit and help you with those. So I just want to be sensitive to that this morning. I know there's no condemnation. Rather, I'm encouraging us to rise up and believe God for the small things, the things that shake our faith and take away our trust in the Lord. And, you know, if we cannot... I guess another thing that I'm encouraging us with is, if we cannot rise above these things now that we have, how will we be able to face some of the larger things? You know, I marvel sometimes. I don't know if marvel is the right word. I'm amazed how God's grace and mercy is with us, to the point where we have comforts, and then you look at some of the rest of the church, and you realize that they're in much, much deeper challenges than what we are here. And so, will our faith, if our faith is shaken with some of the small things, can we rise up and believe God so that we're prepared to receive whatever else He has and what He wants to do through us for the sake of the church and for His glory? Matthew 16. So, yeah, just sharing that with you as we go through this. (clears throat) 24 to 26, he says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then going over to Luke 17, In Luke 17, we have a similar passage or meaning in 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And Jesus prefaces this verse with verse 32. He says, remember Lot's wife. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by remember Lot's wife? And I don't think we're going to go back to the story of Lot, but we can find that in Genesis 19. They were living in a city where there was they were perishing. It was under judgment, under the judgment of God, and in a very bad situation. And God, in his love and mercy, sent a few messengers there to warn Lot and his family about the coming judgment. And he tells, Lot goes to his, well, the messengers said to Lot, they said, arise, get yourself up and get out of here. And Lot goes to his daughters and he said, get up, we have to get out of here, there's judgment coming. And the very next, it might be the same verse, but in that context, it gives the idea that his son-in-laws mocked what he was saying. Now, can you imagine if you have a couple married daughters and you would go to them and say that the Lord, through his messengers, asked that you get out of this city. You're dwelling there. There's a lot going on there. Maybe you have a business. Maybe you have things going for you where you're not about to leave. I mean, that's a joke, right? Why would I leave without my husband? And I'm just trying to give an illustration there. It says his daughters, but then it also talks about, it alludes to his son-in-laws. But I'm just saying, would that not be look foolish to do that? But they're saying, get up, rise up out of that situation. And I'm just saying, to bring that point out, I'm just saying the urgency for us to rise up is very real. Whatever your situation is, it's time to rise up out of that. Or you'll stay right where you are in another half a year, in another year. It's time to rise up. I'm talking about the things of our heart. What are you struggling with? Believe God with that. Believe God. Trust Him. And it's there's an urgency about that. If you stay there, there'll be destruction. There'll be death, some sort of death. Maybe spiritually. I don't know. But I'm saying, rise up out of that. He was telling Lot and his daughters, and they went out of that city, Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities, and walking up the mountain, he told him not to look back. Lot's wife took the liberty to look back. I don't know why, but you can start to imagine there's all that we lived for. Those are people we have relationships with. Those are people that we walked with. We lived among them, and we dwelt among them. And maybe she had, I don't know, some attachment that she looked back. And that tends to happen to us. When we walk out of a situation, sometimes we tend to look back and we find ourselves at a place wishing somehow that it would be better back there. And it's never the right answer for us. It wasn't the right answer for Lot's wife. She turned around and she turned into a salt pillar. Now, I've been over there, and that deep hole where Sodom and Gomorrah is assumed was, that's where they assume it was, that deep hole is now called the Dead Sea. And when I look, we had the privilege of swimming in the water there, in the Dead Sea, and it is so salty. It is below sea level. And I, you know, the wrath of God, it says there was fire and brimstone that was poured into Sodom and Gomorrah on them. It apparently created a creator. And I'm trying to bring the urgency out of, if there's sin in our life, there's an urgency to let God redeem that. But that hole is where Sodom and Gomorrah once was. And I look up to the mountain where I'm assuming they were traveling. And it's not trees, it's not woods, it's barren rocks and roads and sand and just these high mountains. And they were to get over across that and not look back. Now, it does say Lot looked back and saw the smoke, and it was as a fiery furnace. What does that have to do with rising up? I just appreciate his courage to go out of there and not look back and say, I'll leave everything behind. I'll forsake all that I have for this, for what these messengers, for what God was saying. And then it said they were dwelling in a cave. So that story is just an illustration of rising up and not looking back and going to a place of safety. Lot's wife may have been hoping to see some sort of preservation or for something back there. And God had so much better for them, so much better. And so I think the problem sometimes is we have an impression of how our life should be or could be. You know, we dream, we have dreams, and we wonder if God won't bless it somehow. And here God has something so much better, so much better. And all he wants is us. All he wants is my life. And then he can lead and direct my path. He wants to bring us out so he can bring us into something greater. So when we lose our life, scriptures, we just read it. It says when we lose our life, we find him. We find life. We find him. And so a challenge to ponder is, what could my life be? Or what could my life be now? Or what could it be? Now let me rephrase this. What could my life have been if I would have forsaken all before? And you can't go very far in that because there's nothing you can do about that, right? But a challenge to ponder is, what if I would forsake what I'm hanging on to now? What could my life be for the Lord Jesus Christ? The things in my heart, the things that I struggle with. Seth talked about this in our worship time. You know, maybe there's a sickness. I don't know what to do about that. Besides, we are instructed to pray for each other, anoint each other, and pray for each other when we have sicknesses. And we do that. But in the midst of that, can we somehow just lift our eyes in the midst of that? I gained a greater compassion for those who struggle with health this past winter. I got into a place where there's times where I had such a bad cough I could hardly breathe. And some nights I couldn't lay down because it somehow wouldn't cooperate. I just had to cough. And being awake at night gave me a greater compassion for some of you that are struggling with health. And so I say this carefully. But somehow if we could just lift our eyes and look to the Lord, what is it? What is one thing in that I can trust him with? What is just one thing that I can trust him with in that? Just an encouragement for us as we look at Scripture. Does God have a plan for my life? When should I give it to him? You know, Scripture says it's not even yet entered into our heart what God has in store for us. And so we see so many good things, but when you think about that fact that it's not even entered into my heart what God has in store for us, for those that love him. And so I just want to hit on a couple points here is the one is depression. And I want to give some thoughts from Oswald Chambers. He had something a little while ago out of 1 Kings 19:5. Talks about Elijah. As he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. And he said unto him, Arise and eat. Choose to eat. And then he says, taking initiative against depression, the angel in this passage did not give Elijah a vision or explain the scriptures to him or do anything remarkable. He simply told Elijah to do a very ordinary thing. That is to get up and eat. If we were never depressed, we would not be alive. These are some important thoughts. Think about this. If we were never depressed, we would not be alive. Only material things don't suffer depression. If human beings were not capable of depression, we would have no capacity for happiness and exaltation. There are things in life that are designed to depress us. For example, things that are associated with death. Whenever you examine yourself, always take into account your capacity for depression. There, it has its tendency, right? When the Spirit of God comes in, He does not give us a glorious visions, but He tells us to do the most ordinary things imaginable. Depression tends to turn us away from everyday things of God's creation. But whenever God steps in, His inspiration is to do the most natural, simple things we would never have imagined God was in. But as we do them, we find Him there. The inspiration that comes to us in this way was an initiative against depression. It takes an action. It takes a choice. But we must first take the first step to do it in the inspiration of God. If, however, we do something simply to overcome our depression, if we do something, we will only deepen it. So I hope you're getting the point by now. It's God that helps us. But when the Spirit of God leads us instinctively to do something, the moment we do it, the depression is gone. As soon as we arise and obey, we enter the higher plane of life. And that was by Oswald Chambers. I so appreciated that when I read it. And it was sometime this winter I came over that. I was like, wow, this is just really, really good. Acknowledging the fact that depression is real and it has a tendency to get us down if we operate in the natural. And so you could say, well, define depression. It's something, when you experience it, it's something that drags you down really quickly. And you have this mindset of poverty, negative, just nothing looks bright to you. And I would just encourage us to look for the simple things in life and then trust God. Ask God to help you and then move on those little things. One of the things that I am not as intentional on, but I just realized just recently I'm not doing it anymore, is the first thing I do in the morning when I wake up is just thank God for an opportunity for another day. Just thank God. Thank Him for that opportunity that He's given you again to live for this day, to use you for His glory. And so as we think about those things, let's just trust God, surrender our own understanding and trust Him. In Philippians, I wanted to bring out a few verses, Philippians 7. Philippians 3, 7 to 16, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. Now, picture yourself. Paul's in a jail cell here. And you could think, what a waste of time. What a waste of time. He's sitting in a jail writing this letter to some of his friends, right? And probably not even realizing the power and the inspiration it will bring to all of us and the church for hundreds of years after that. So you get the setting here. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why? That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may have apprehended that which were also I apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He's summarizing his pursuit. Forgetting those things which are behind me. That is so important. So important. If you want to be healed by Jesus Christ in your struggle or your situation, you will need to acknowledge what's behind you and then trust God with that and forget those things. There are things that are etched in my mind that I am ashamed of in my past. But when I look back, I see redemption. I see those things redeemed, and I can thank God for that. But if those things aren't repented for and redeemed, they will hold you back. And that can lead to despair and depression. Trust God. Trust God with those things. But he said, one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. And then he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before me. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I guess I go back to verse 10. His heart is that I may know him. That I may know him. That's a high calling. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And if we could just grab this, verse 10, that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he was in prison, and you could think, what a waste of time. But it's not what we think sometimes, right? It's not what we think. But he's all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We are called to bring disciples. We are called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And God will direct the path. We can't reach everybody, but we can reach someone today. We can reach someone today. That. So when we do the next right thing, I remember Jordan's dad used to challenge us with this. He'd say, if you don't know what to do, it just isn't clear. He said, just do the next right thing. In your minds this morning, you know what that next right thing is. You don't have to think deeply about that. You will know what that is as we just pause there. Do the next right thing. And God will give you grace for it. We look also in the despair. What do we do when we feel downcast? Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. A righteous man gets up when he falls, and he gets on his feet again and recognizes God can help him. Just some thoughts here. It's not a natural impulse on my part. It's a supernatural power on his part. God's Spirit in us and enabling us. And then in Romans 8, I think we read this morning, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall give what? Life. He shall give you life because you've lost your own life. He shall give you life also to your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8:11. God through his Holy Spirit gives us light. And so I find this scripture very, very encouraging. Very encouraging. If I can trust God and he can dwell within me, It's not up to me to generate my own power. Again, that'll just drive me deeper into depression. If I'm trying to, on my own power, get out of it, then that'll just drive me deeper. But if I can trust God, and I wish I could think of something practical of how to illustrate just a simple thing of just trusting God. Just ponder that. What is something that you could trust God with? You know, we talked about the thing of being grateful. What if you would just start being more thankful and verbalizing it to others around you? What could happen with that? I don't fear being around negativity, because there's always something or a tough situation. I don't necessarily fear that, because there's always something that you can trust God with. There's always something good that you can trust God with. Now, sometimes it gets uncomfortable, depending what it is, or you don't know what to do in a situation, especially an emergency. What do I do? How do I work with this? You can't think fast enough for the things that are taking place. Even in that, we can trust God. Just zoom out, back up, and say, Lord, help me. Help me with this situation. Give me the action steps in this. What do I do to help this situation? But if the spirit of him that raised him up dwells in you, I can tap into his life-giving power and grace. He's the one who has the power to make me rise and stand. Jesus was dead, right? Lifeless in the tomb, but the Spirit of God gave life to him. So even when we're discouraged and, you know, the point of despair, and when we have no strength left, or it seems like we have no gas left in us to even run on anything, when our reserves are depleted, you're just like, I can't take anymore. This is hard. This is a hard week. This is a hard day. I just can't take anymore. Even when those things are depleted and our physical strength is gone, what do we do? According to Scripture, he says, when we cry out to the Lord, his Spirit, God through his Holy Spirit, gives us life in our mortal bodies. He gives us life. And Jesus experienced this in the resurrection power. And it says that we are to walk in that in the power of his resurrection. You know, it's not, he didn't stay there. We sang about that this morning. The grave is empty, amen. The tomb is, he's no longer in there. God raised him up by the Spirit of God. And that's where we walk, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection. And so this scripture is encouraging, very encouraging. So as we get back on our feet, we experience that mini resurrection. And as we keep getting up, we are winning against the flesh and the devil. We are proclaiming the power of Christ. Hebrews 4:14-16, he says, having then a great high priest who passeth through, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Interesting, it mentions our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched or to suffer with him. He knows how we feel. He knows everything about us. He suffers with us. He suffered everything that we will ever suffer for, with a feeling of our infirmities, but one that had been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he says, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need, or help. Help in time of need. And so we wonder sometimes why we go around the circle. You know, God leads us here, God leads us there, and then all of a sudden we find the path. We start to understand it better. Just thinking of myself before I was born again, I did not have vision for the rest of my life. I just didn't have any vision for it. There was just a deep void. But when I got born again, I started to see the path. I started to see the trajectory that he's putting me on. And you start following that. And you press forth toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And so it's not, like I said before, it's not only time to get out of what you're stuck in, but it's time to go in and move in. We don't want to stay stuck here, church. I'm talking about things of our hearts. We don't want to stay stuck where we are today. I'm encouraging us to go on and press on, forgetting the other things which are behind us, and being grateful and choosing to bless, choosing to walk with the Lord, choosing to believe God for my situations, like Paul, like Lot, like Elijah, Moses, all those, like Jesus in the garden. You know, I was reading that story, and he told his disciples at one point, he said, rise, it's time to get up, for the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and here they come. I don't know what our rise up means. I don't know. But I trust that God is going to use every one of us as soon as we rise up in our situations. He might use you for ministering to your children in a greater way. He might use you to minister to your neighbors. He may use you to minister to your coworkers. Think of the simplest things. Let's not get this idealistic view or something that I'm going to be used greatly by God. Greatly by God is just the simple things I just mentioned. Let God lead your path. He says if we commit our ways to the Lord, our plans, we can make plans, but when we commit our plans to the Lord, then he'll direct our path. It doesn't mean it's going to happen exactly how I had pictured or the vision that I had, but it's even going to be greater. It's going to be so much better. And so I want to encourage us to, like these men of the Bible, we saw how some of them took their own path, and they learned the hard way, and they learned to go through wilderness experiences. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a wilderness experience. Some of us experience that. We have seasons of that. But by God's grace, the wilderness has a way out. The wilderness, there's a way out of that wilderness. It doesn't have to do with time. It has to do with God's plan and how we respond to the Lord a lot of times. And so let's get in sync with the plan of God. When we have Christ our Redeemer in our sight, are we willing to go the distance with him? We get the answer on how we should walk when we commit our plans to the Lord. Oh my, I was gonna share a story, but I'm not gonna read it. It is in the story of the 10 lepers. In that chapter we just read earlier, in 17, and it gives the story of 10 lepers, and 10 of them went 10 of them went out. And they got up. Let me just, my eyes fall on this here. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Now, there was 10 of them, but what I marveled at was the one that came back was cleansed. And what did he do? He glorified God. And that was an expression. That was a choice. That was something he did, an action that he took. It doesn't say the other 9 did it. But it says the one, there are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger, except this one. And he was cleansed. And I thought, wow, that is, in 19, he says, arise. After he did that, after he brought glory to God, he recognized who he was, and he brought glory to God, Jesus says to him, "Arise, go thy way." Then he tells him, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Oh, to be whole. Oh. To be whole. Let that sink and echo down deep into our heart. Yearn to be whole with Christ. Thy faith has made thee whole. I want to read a song here that we're going to hear on the speakers while we're praying for each other, but just ministered to me here in the last, yesterday especially, as I was studying. It's an old hymn from 1911. It's "Rise Up, O Men of God." William P. Merle wrote the hymn. He says, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength is unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know your situation. However, if you bring what God has, bring to God what you have and ask him for help in time of need. The grace is there. How do you come when you need grace? How do we come to each other? How do we come to God first when we need grace? It says to enter boldly to the throne of grace. Seth said that in our worship time, he said, he emphasized the fact that God has everything laid out for us. There is nothing short. There's all the provisions we have for our situations today. Everything that we need is provided by God. There's nothing short on his end. So what is it that God is looking for? If he has everything right here, what is it that he's looking for? All he needs is men of faith to say, "I'm going to come. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to trust you." That takes a physical effort to rise up. That takes a physical acknowledgement that I need God. Without God, without me asking God, he's not going to heal. But he says, "Come and ask. Just ask. And make me whole. Make me whole, Lord." And so we're going to go into a time of prayer here. As you pray for each other, pray for the Word of God to minister to your hearts, the Holy Spirit to minister to your lives. And I'm not going to put groups together, but I'm going to encourage us to no more than two or three in one group. Let's have that, just like we go into the noon fellowship meal, we partake of the food. Let's partake of God's mercy and grace and love for the rest of our morning here until we dismiss. But pray for each other. Ask God to put someone on your heart. Maybe there's somebody in the room here that you've been waiting to pray for. It's like, I really need to pray with him or her. God has laid a burden on my heart for that person. Or maybe there's somebody that you just noticed this morning. I need to pray for him or her. And share your struggles together and pray for one another. And if there's somebody here this morning that would like prayer for healing, we can pray for you if that's what you want. If you want to publicly express what you're possibly dealing with, we can pray for you. Again, your struggles are real. And so everything that I've shared, I know it comes as a challenge, but I mean it as an encouragement to us that let's believe God. Let's trust him for the things that we're maybe bound with or struggle with, or maybe there's a decision that you don't know what's going to come out of it, or you don't know what there's almost a fear of making a decision, and it's causing you to be indecisive because what if I would choose and it'd be the wrong thing? God can, if you give that to the Lord, it'll become clear to you. That's what we want to pray for each other. And again, I want to emphasize the fact that let's not look at the tangible things. Let's look at the things of our heart and ask God to make those things whole, that we can come in sync with Him and be a blessing in His church, be a blessing in His the time that we live in, where we can be used maybe for the people in the Middle East or the people around us. Current situations, we need to live in reality, right? And so let's be real with each other. So I'm going to just dismiss us here. We're going to just make it an informal time. Take your children with you, whatever is convenient for you, and let's just pray for each other. I will also, let's have somebody outside your age group. Pray for somebody outside your age group. It's easy to go to Elmer, somebody that's understands. But what about looking at the thing of discipleship and just allowing God to use the young and the old together? So let's just do that now and trust God to continue to minister to us. Father, we thank You. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that we can see the current situations of our heart and realize the platform that's there is not working. You brought us to that place, but oh God, You have so much better. You have so much more. And so as we spend this time praying for each other, we ask God that You would minister to our hearts, minister to our lives, Lord, and make us whole in a Father way. As we come to the throne of grace boldly, recognizing that You do have the answer for all of our situations. And so we trust You with them. In Jesus' name, amen.